God bless our troops, God bless America, and ladies and gentlemen, charge your batteries. Welcome to All Talk. All USL Talk USL, covering all the latest scores, news, and developments. The second highest division of the United States men's professional soccer system, the USL Championship. I'm your host, as always, Vince Galvano, getting into what was an intriguing week, albeit a longer week of USL fixtures. I also have another question for you guys. Only five teams are left undefeated after six match days. Do you know who those teams are? Well, we'll answer them when we go over the table later, but hint, three are in the Eastern Conference, and two of them are in the Western Conference. So, I mean, here in this show, we're just going to be going over the fixtures, albeit a lot of fixtures since we had Charleston taking on Louisville on that Tuesday. And then we had also Miami and Tampa Bay prior to getting to Saturday's fixtures. But no match day spotlight this week. It was a busy week. Good, but busy. I was celebrating my birthday as well as my anniversary with my girlfriend, and we traveled to Denmark to enjoy a bit of a longer weekend. And there was a lot going on in anticipation of the trip as well, since we were hosting friends where we live in Europe. So good things, but busy. So I wasn't able to get into watching really a game in depth per se, and taking all these notes. Nonetheless, I have plenty of notes to get into from this match day six, which was eventful. But the record that I'm referring to is the youngest player to reach 50 regular season goals in league history. I'm talking none other than Louisville City forward Wilson Harris. And by the way, on April 11th, a USL Championship put out that he was the player of the month for March. I mean, no one's really surprised. I also gave him the match day spotlight player of the match from last week's match between Louisville taking on Indy 11, the one that debuted on CBS, of course. I didn't post anything on social, but it goes without saying that, you know, a hat trick in that game will garner you man of the match. But how about this? Player of the month. The 24-year-old made a remarkable start to the new campaign. We're talking four goals in three games to lead Lou City to a perfect opening month of the season. And he, you know, reminder, 2020 Championship Young Player of the Year. And to set a league landmark in the opening game of the season with his game-winning goal in Louisville's 1-0 victory at El Paso Locomotives FC, saw him already become the youngest player to reach 50 regular season goals, aged 24 years, 3 months, and 17 days old. After his hat trick against rival Indy 11, that was USL's Champions' first game to air on the network television in league history, by the way. Harris now has 56 goals in 129 appearances in the league's regular season overall. That on USLChampionship.com was posted the day before my birthday, so the 11th of April. Congratulations to Wilson Harris. He was a joy to watch in that game, and he's just still lighting this league on fire. Keep an eye out for him, obviously leading the goal charts even after match day six with 7 goals in the opening games for Louisville. Speaking of goals, goal of match day five goes to Loudoun United midfielder Abdellatif Aboukra. The 19-year-old American Egyptian produced a moment of individual brilliance to create that space for a 25-yard shot that rocketed into the top right corner of the net against Birmingham Legion FC. They didn't get the 3 points, Loudoun, but Aboukra walks out with the goal of match day five. So that was really it in terms of the beginning opening news, albeit big ones, but yeah. Louisville, though, couldn't get the job done on Tuesday, April 9th. Charleston Battery took down Louisville City FC in a 3-2 thriller. I said, charge up your batteries. Well, Charleston Battery are performing exquisitely so far and just gaining more and more momentum. On Live 5 News, WCSC, Charleston Battery saying that they claimed a thrilling 3-2 victory over Louisville City FC in front of a sold-out crowd at Patriots Point on Tuesday. After conceding an early goal, that Battery rallied from behind to score 3 goals in the first half via M.D. Myers in the 10th minute, Nick Markanich in the 22nd and 30th minute. Charleston dealt Louisville their first loss of 2024 and simultaneously replaced them in first in the Eastern Conference standings. Sold-out crowd in Charleston paired with a thrilling contest put an exclamation mark on the USL's championship debut on CBS Sports Network. So led by a pair of goals by Nick Markanich, taking him to 5-5 appearances this season. Sold-out crowd, as mentioned, roughly 4,500 at Patriots Point. The Battery were also rewarded another penalty. They had a penalty from Markanich, his second goal, but they received another penalty in the 84th minute following a violent collision between Las and Emilio Caza in the box. And Aaron Malloy took the following spot attempt, but his strike was saved by Las, who made an additional save on Myers' follow-up shot off the rebound. Goals from Louisville coming in the 9th minute by Gonzalez, and then Davila scoring in the 52nd. So no goals from Harris in this one, but Charleston were quick to come back with a response after Gonzalez's 9th-minute goal opener for the match. Tremendous 3 points for Charleston Battery. Lot to go off of there, handing Louisville their first loss of the season. And that was already on Tuesday. And then immediately after, we can say, the next day, we had Miami FC hosting the Tampa Bay Rowdies. 5 goals from Charleston Battery Louisville. This one tops them off with 7 goals in addition to a red card. And when was the last time the Rowdies scored 5 in a match? Well, it wasn't too long ago. The last time the Rowdies scored 5 was May 13th, 2023, in a 5-1 victory over Detroit City FC. Well, 5 goals now going against Miami FC. Bieck was the own goal in the 21st minute to open things up. Then Jennings came in the 39th, and then we had a stoppage time first half goal scored by Bodily. It was already 3-0 at the half. However, Miami would come back, albeit briefly, to get something. Consolation, we can say. Gonzalo scores in the 48th, but then it's Cal Jennings to get his double of the match in the 52nd. Gavilanes scores his 4th of the season in the 55th to make it 4-2. And then Ortega will come in and say, yeah, no comeback here. I'll seal a deal for Tampa Bay, scoring in the 62nd. In a report by CBS Miami, Miami FC, they said they faced a 2-5 defeat, right, against Tampa Bay Rowdies in the first intrastate rivalry match of the season at FIU Soccer Stadium. Tampa Bay managed to dominate largely due to the performance of forward Cal Jennings, who came away obviously with 2 goals here. Miami FC struggled to capitalize on their goal opportunities at a second half rally, fell short as they conceded those 3 first half goals. Miami FC failed to score to the defensive efforts of Rowdy's goalkeeper, Jordan Farr, and the match concluded with Miami FC down by 3 goals, marking their 4th loss in 6 games. In the 68th minute, starting Miami goalkeeper Daniel Gagliardi, he left the field with an injury, so that's unfortunate. They had to get their backup goalkeeper in for the course of this one, but 4 games lost for Miami, 1 once and tied once for a total of 4 points in 6 games, while Tampa now has 9 points with 2 victories, 3 draws, and no losses in just 5 games played. A little hint there. To add insult to injury, in the 73rd minute, Manuel Bota was the one to receive the red card after 2 yellows, and he was sent off the pitch, leaving Miami with 10 players. Not much you're going to generate from a comeback already being down by 3 goals at that point. More frustration. And that was really, you know, that was the sort of 2 midweek matches that we had. And then it was Charleston Battery coming back, saying, yeah, we'll take another win, this time against Indy 11 on the road. Charleston Battery scored a nice 2-4 comeback victory over Indy 11 at Carroll Stadium on Saturday, and they reaffirmed their place atop the Eastern Conference standings. Emilio Icaza scored in the 90th minute, but the Battery quickly found themselves down 2-1 shortly after. Nick Markanich, he leveled the score before halftime, and then an Indy-owned goal and tally by M.D. Myers sealed Charleston's 2nd consecutive win. Indy managed to score a pair of goals in rapid succession via Agoba in the 27th minute, and then Sebastian Gonzatti, the Uruguayan, the 28th, to claim a 2-1 lead at the half-hour mark. But it was Charleston that came through with all 3 points. A particular memorable moment, by the way, occurred in the 87th minute when 18-year-old Matthew Dean entered the match in place of MD Myers following the goal. Dean is a USL Academy signing, making his professional debut by subbing in, and marked a full circle moment for the Georgia Southern University men's soccer signee, who first arrived in Charleston during an open trial before earning a spot on the roster. That from CharlestonBatteryFC.com. Charleston Battery taking 6 points from 2 against Indy 11 and Louisville. Back-to-back wins for them. They have 15 points sitting atop of the table. And they're one of the undefeated teams in the East. I gave you the hint before, Tampa Bay the other, but still 3 left of the league. We'll get into that more as we get ahead with the show. But Charleston, looking like the best team, arguably, in the league right now. They have had 7 games played, the most out of any team, either in the Eastern and Western Conference. But yeah, they can say most games played, but also most points from those games. And that's the important thing. Even with other teams that have 6 played, such as Orange County and Sacramento, the best they can do would even just tie that points tally. So they're setting the bar at the top of the Eastern Conference and also at the top of the table. Loudoun United FC were looking to get back to winning ways. Following their loss against Birmingham Legion, they took on Memphis 901 FC at home in front of 2,800 fans at Segra Field. Prior to going into this one, by the way, for the second consecutive start to the season, Loudoun United FC provided some intrigue, right? They picked up 4 points from its first 2 games. This included an impressive 3-1 win against North Carolina FC, which we covered in the match day spotlight in its home opener back on March 16th. But since then, unfortunately, things have taken, you know, a similar turn to a season ago as well, with consecutive defeats on the road to Detroit City FC and Birmingham Legion FC. That was kind of one of the things that Nicholas Murray, a writer for USL Championship, was pointing out in his sort of 9 things to look at for this match day. And it was goals by Ryan and Skuntrick which sealed the deal. Ryan in the 42nd minute. And Skuntrick in the 69th, albeit it were a comeback victory since Memphis 901 got the scoring under the way with Correga in the 14th minute. So congrats to Loudoun United FC getting the 3 points there. That's their 2nd win of the season. That puts them on 7 points after 5 games played. Rhode Island FC taking on Pittsburgh Riverhounds Soccer Club. Ended in a 0-0 draw. Jacob Russo of the Providence Journal talked about Rhode Island's performance, saying for the 2nd of back-to-back weeks, they were unable to net a breakthrough goal at home and drew a 0-0 final against Pittsburgh. Through 5 games, RIFC was 0-1-4, still winless in its inaugural season. And Saturday night match at the Burns Stadium in front of 3,678 fans was the club's best chance to break through to date, as the game was against Pittsburgh, the only team in the Eastern Conference standings also without a win. But it was Jackson Lee's game-saving sequence late in the 2nd half that was the play of the match. The netminder, who again filled in for the injured Coque Vegas, stopped a low shot off of a cross inside the box with his right foot. The rebound found a Riverhound player, but Lee managed to deflect the 2nd attempt out for a corner. The 22-year-old Australian had 3 saves on the night. Both teams now have back-to-back 0-0 draws. I guess the takeaway you can say from this one, both teams here are starting first with Pittsburgh. It's back-to-back weeks without a loss, and they started their season off not too good there. So you can say, hey, we're generating some momentum. At least we're not losing. All you need to do is start getting that 1 point to turn to 3 points, and then we can start getting the show on the road. For Rhode Island, still undefeated at home, developing a little bit of a fortress at Burns Stadium. But that wasn't just the only 0-0 of match day 6. We had San Antonio FC taking on Orange County Soccer Club. Prior to going into this one, Orange County Soccer Club's 5-game undefeated streak to start the season had equaled its best five-game start to a season, matching its start to the abbreviated 2020 campaign when it won three games and drew twice to kicking off here. OCSC has only won once on the road against San Antonio in its history, earning a 3-0 victory on April 14th, 2018. So quite similar in terms of the dates, albeit this one in 2018. In any case, it would be a point shared or points shared from both sides. Only three shots on target for the hosts and two for the visitors. Both teams experiencing their second draw of the season. But with this result, it's Orange County Soccer Club still remaining undefeated. They sit joint top of the Western Conference with Sacramento Republic also undefeated. I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I asked the question, hey, five teams left that still haven't garnered a loss, right? Can't beat them. Who are those five teams? Three in the Eastern Conference, two in the Western. Well, Charleston Battery is an easy one, right? You have Orange County. You have Sacramento from the Western Conference. Two left from the Eastern Conference. Tampa Bay, she gave the hint. And there's one other. They had a bye this weekend. Detroit City FC. So those five teams looking high and mighty and impenetrable so far. El Paso Locomotive FC, unfortunately, not getting the result against Oakland Roots Soccer Club. Roots came away with a 3-2 victory in a thriller. This from the KTSM Channel 9 NBC in El Paso, Texas. Two early goals in the second half saw El Paso Locomotives FC fall 3-2 to Oakland Roots Soccer Club on Saturday night at Southwest University Park, extending the club's search for its first win of the 2024 USL Championship season. Locomotive forward Armando Moreno would score first on the night, scoring his third goal of the season to give Locomotive the lead. The Oakland would equalize in the 31st. Forward Justin Dillon would win a penalty in favor of Locomotive in the 42nd. Dillon would line up to take the shot, converting from the spot to open his 2024 scoring count and restore the lead ahead of the break. And then minutes into the second half, Oakland would score twice to take the lead, and Locomotive were unable to find the back of the net for the rest of the night, extending that 2024 winless record to six matches, only one draw, and five losses to show for that. Besides there, we had Rodriguez getting two goals for Oakland Roots, 47th minute and the 51st penalty kick. And then it was also Logue who got the goal for Oakland Roots in the first half in the 31st. Approximately 7,000 in attendance at Southwest University Park. So again, 2-3, the final score there. Oakland able to put three past El Paso for 3 points. Speaking of getting 3 points and scoring three goals, we also had Monterey Bay FC hosting Las Vegas Lights FC. That ended in a 3-1 victory for the Union prior to going into this one with a third consecutive shutout. In its 1-0 victory against San Antonio FC last week in the Las Vegas Lights, set a club record for the most consecutive shutouts in its history. Wouldn't be the case here. It was Dixon to open up the scoring for the Union in the 10th minute from the spot. Then Traeger would score in the 45th. Then immediately right after, Las Vegas Lights trying to climb back into that one with Samaki scoring, but it was Gonzalez in the 74th minute to seal the 3 points for Monterey Bay FC. And to add insult to injury, Emra Clemente was given a second yellow card, showing that red card for Las Vegas, so he will be unable for selection in the next game at Cardinal Stadium. Approximately 3,500 people in attendance for that one. Hey, kudos to Las Vegas Lights for you know, setting that club record for most consecutive shutouts in its history. Doesn't seem that significant, but every little bit of record, right, that you can break is something to be proud of. And they, I don't think, especially being on the road, going to be that bad for them, right? They have 3 wins from 6. They went in a 3-game winning streak. Their goal difference is now set at that 0. 8 goals scored, but yes, 8 goals conceded. They have the same amount of points as San Antonio to get, you know, put things in perspective. And it didn't seem that way after their start to the season when losing to Tulsa. But they've since climbed back and made a name for themselves, sitting in the mid-table of the Western Conference. Sacramento Republic FC taking on FC Tulsa. prior to going into this one, the series history hadn't been kind to FC Tulsa. They've not won against Sacramento in 12 prior meetings. And this time around, you can add the 13. They tied 1-1 at Sacramento. In the 16th minute, Edwin Lazo for FC Tulsa shown the red card. In the 33rd minute, then, it was Sacramento taking the lead. Rodrigo Lopez with a nice left-footed shot from outside the box to the bottom left corner. That was assisted by Luis Rodriguez. And you thought, well, they're not going to even get anything from this game. Don't think so fast. In the 64th minute, right after the hour mark, it's Patrick Segrist with a left-footed shot from outside the box to that bottom left corner. That was assisted by Diogo Pacheco following a corner for FC Tulsa. So they walk away with a point, playing for most of the match with 10 men. Stats even show that as well. 74% possession in favor of Sacramento. Republic FC, 536 passes played versus 130, with a total of 23 shots to 5, albeit only 5 shots on target for Sacramento, and 2 shots on target for FC Tulsa. But whew, tough to play a man down for that long, but it feels really, really good, like almost a victory when you're able to get a point from the game. Then we had 2 more to go. Phoenix Rising taking on Colorado Springs Switchbacks FC. It was only 1 goal to differ the sides here. Phoenix Rising get 3 points. 1-0, a goal by John Stenberg, the defender, in the 71st minute. Seal the deal for Phoenix Rising. Taking a look at some of those stats there, they generated 8 shots on target compared to only 1 from Colorado Springs Switchbacks FC. Phoenix Rising generating some momentum, haven't lost since playing New Mexico on the 31st of March. They tied in a thrilling 3-3 match against FC Tulsa on April 6th on the road. They come back home, get the 3 points against Colorado Springs Switchbacks, and we have the worst team in the league. 5 games played, 9 goals conceded, only 1 goal scored. That's equivalent to, yes, Pittsburgh Riverhounds only also having a 1 goal to their name over 5 games, but able to keep it down to 6 goals conceded. Colorado Springs Switchbacks, on the other hand, 9 goals conceded. And I feel for them because I remember the first game of the season when they lost to Miami FC, they hit the woodwork twice in that game. You think, all right, maybe they can get it. And it's just, no. They lose to Detroit City FC at home. They lose to San Antonio on the road. They lose to Sacramento Republic FC at home. And then they lose to Phoenix Rising on the road, I should say. In any case, they come against Indy 11. They host Indy 11 next time around. Indy 11, by the way, they're on a 3-game losing streak. Not a 5-game losing streak, but a 3-game losing streak. Colorado Springs, yeah, nothing, but maybe here they can get something against Indy 11, bottom of the table sort of thing, clash interconference. That should be quite interesting, but there's a couple teams on losing streaks. You can add Colorado Springs Switchbacks, you can add El Paso Locomotive to that, you can add Memphis to that list, you can add Indy 11 to that list, you can add Miami FC to that list. These are some of the teams that are just completely out of form and need something, and to have Indy 11 going against Colorado Springs Switchbacks in the next match, both teams on significant losing streaks, is a chance to turn things around. If one of those teams manages to get 3 points, then we can be looking a bit different in terms of the outlook. But yeah, solidifying themselves as the worst team in the league at the moment based on points. The Switchbacks wanted to switch back time and try to get some second opportunities, but unfortunately, that's not how things work. North Carolina FC taking on Birmingham Legion FC. Last sort of game to cover from what was match day 6, an eventful match day 6. Eventful match day as always. I mean, looking at this one on paper, I really thought, you know what, this game's going to end 1-1. And it did end 1-1. If there was any game I was certain about a result this weekend, that was the one I just had in mind. North Carolina FC who, by the way, have already drawn at home 1-1 against Tampa Bay Rowdies. They come at home again this time around, right? And for me, it just seemed like it would be a 1-1 draw, considering that Birmingham Legion, they took care of business against Loudoun United FC. North Carolina couldn't, although they could have when we covered them in the match day spotlight, didn't take the opportunity that the goalkeeper of Loudoun gave to them. I just thought, okay, based upon what I've seen so far from North Carolina and Birmingham, having watched both teams, this is going to end as a draw. Not a scoreless draw, but a draw. And that's exactly what happened. Around 2,000 in attendance at Wake Med Soccer Park. It was an eventful first half. In the second minute, Da Costa opened the scoring from 12 yards out for North Carolina FC. The lead would only be short-lived. 20 minutes later, approximately, we have Martinez equalizing for Birmingham Legion. And that would kind of round us out for match day 6. Taking a look at the table, starting first with the Eastern Conference, the team on top, Charleston Battery, 4 wins and 3 draws from their opening 7 games with a goal differential of 8, 15 points, the most out of any team in the USL Championship, garnering some huge momentum, beating Louisville, handing them their first loss of the season, and then beating their counterparts, the rival counterparts, Indy 11. So they look really high and mighty with 15 points in first place. Right below them, though, is Louisville City FC with 5 games played, 12 points. Then you have Detroit City FC sitting in third, only 4 games played for them. All wins so far. They take on Oakland Roots next time around. So those are your top three in the Eastern Conference. For your top three in the Western Conference, you have Orange County Soccer Club with 12 points from 6 played. As well as Sacramento Republic FC in second place, or we could say tied for first place, right? They also have 12 points from 6 games played, only just a goal differential of +1 in favor of Orange County between the two of them. And then in third place, you have Monterey Bay FC looking pretty solid on a 2-game win streak, and they take on Memphis on the road coming up next. So those are your sort of top teams from each Western and Eastern, right? Then we go to the bottom of the table, then we'll get to the middle of the table. Eastern Conference, bottom of the table. You have Pittsburgh Riverhounds still without a win in the season. You also have Rhode Island FC still without a win in the season. But Rhode Island have drawn more games. Rhode Island have 4 points with Pittsburgh only having 2. Both 5 games played there in front of them with only 4 points. This albeit from 6 games played. You have Miami FC and ND 11. So that's how I was looking at the bottom of the table there with Pittsburgh sitting at the bottom for Eastern. Western Conference-wise, Colorado Springs Fishbacks, they're sitting in 12th place. Ahead of them is El Paso Locomotive FC with only 1 point. And then you have Memphis 901 FC sitting in 10th on the Western Conference with 3 points. Yeah, Memphis got a win, if you recall, right? Against Las Vegas Lights. But since then, Las Vegas were able to find more victories and Memphis have just found losses. Middle of the table wise, you have Tampa Bay Rowdies on 9 points along with Hartford Athletic. They sit 4th and 5th place. Then you have Birmingham Legion tied with points with Loudoun United FC. And then right below Loudoun United FC, you have North Carolina sitting in 8th place of the Eastern Conference. And then 4th place in the Western Conference, New Mexico United. They are on a 2-game winning streak. They also had a bye this weekend, but they take on North Carolina FC in the next match, interconference match that is. Right behind them on 9 points is Las Vegas Lights FC and San Antonio FC. 2023 champions Phoenix Rising FC sitting in 7th place with 7 points. And you also have Oakland Roots on 7 points and then FC Tulsa on 5 points. That's Rising in 7th place in the Western Conference. Oakland Roots in 8th place, and FC Tulsa in 9th place. That's how things are looking at the table, but many juicy upcoming fixtures for match day 7, we can call Detroit City FC hosting Oakland Roots Soccer Club at 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 20th. That's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. Same time slot, you'll have Loudoun United FC taking on Louisville City. FC. Then at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific, you have Hartford Athletic hosting San Antonio FC. And you also have an hour later after that, FC Tulsa hosting Charleston Battery. Then you have Miami FC taking on Birmingham Legion at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. And then you also have, at that same time slot, North Carolina FC hosting New Mexico United, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, April 20th, 4:30 Pacific, Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting El Paso Locomotive. Half an hour later, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, Memphis 901 FC will be home to Monterey Bay Union FC. Then, Las Vegas Lights trying to get something, trying to get back into form. Rhode Island, they're going to be on the road. Las Vegas Lights hosting Rhode Island, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Same time slot for Colorado Springs Switchbacks and Indy 11. If you're looking for a good match that features interconference, both sides that are bad form in need of points, that might be the one to watch this weekend. Then you have Orange County Soccer Club hosting Sacramento Republic FC at 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 Pacific there. Huge top-of-the-table clash in the Western Conference between those two. Will they share the spoils, or will one team reign supreme and sit atop the Western Conference? So you have some really good matchups at the top and the bottom of the table. A lot of interconference matches as well this weekend. Last one we have is Phoenix Rising FC taking on the Pittsburgh Riverhounds Soccer Club. Phoenix will host Pittsburgh 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 Pacific on Saturday. And I think that covers it. Yeah, that'll cover it for that match day. And then I'll also cover it for this episode. A little bit of a shorter episode, but the reason being, I was busy celebrating my birthday. Hey, celebrating my anniversary, right? Things in life you have to enjoy. They only come once a year. Am I right? In any case, I always welcome your feedback. Let me know your thoughts on the show and the structure. What are you enjoying? What do you maybe not like? What do you want to hear more of? What do you not want to hear more of? I'm curious to know your listening habits. Are you on the way to work, while taking a shower? You have it on while cooking, while riding the bus, while riding your motorcycle? I don't know. Just let me know. Write me an email at talkuslchampionship@gmail.com. And if you're into handing out some favors, if you want to do some good in the world, why don't you see and visit TalkUSL on all social platforms with the @TalkUSL. Give, most importantly, a 5-star rating, 4-star rating, 3-star, 2-star, 1-star, whatever you think of the show. I don't mind, as long as you give some feedback on Spotify or anywhere where you listen to the show on your podcast listening platforms. And make sure to tell your fellow friends, family, most importantly, those fellow USL fans, right? Give it a listen. We're at 8 episodes here, almost rounding out the double digits, almost getting close to that coveted 10 mark. I'm excited. I've been really enjoying this. I've been really enjoying talking to listeners out there. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, this has been All Talk, All USL. Talk USL covering the latest scores, news, and developments in the USL Championship. We'll talk soon, everybody. Bye for now.